Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Memtes. We're holding the top line of Memtes Omid Aleph, where the Gemara begins Asiwa Liyoyav and Dine. You recall we already spoke yesterday about Haruge Malchus, Nechsein Lamelech, Haruge Bezin, Nechsein Liyorshim. Then the Gemara got off a little bit on a tangent in a little bit of Agadata, and we're talking about Yoyov Ben Tzruya. As you'll see from here, the top of the Yom until the bottom, Yoyov was a Sar Tzava of David HaMelech, but he did three Averois for which David HaMelech felt that he deserves Misa. David HaMelech didn't do anything to him except he gave him a terrible curse. However, he told Shlomo HaMelech, his son, after I, David HaMelech, pass away, Shlomo HaMelech, you should please see to the execution of Yoyov. And then we had a discussion yesterday that Yoyov said, then the curse should go back on you. But now we're up to that we're taking Yoyev to be done him. In other words, Ben Yehoyahu now is finding Yoyev, and he's telling him the three good reasons why he should be executed. What are those three reasons? We'll see throughout the Gemara, but number one was because he killed Avner ben Ner. Number two, because he killed Amasa. And number three, because he supported Adoniah ben Chagis to take over as successor to David HaMelech, as opposed to Yoyev. That was against David HaMelech's wishes.
Shlomo.
What did I say?
Yoyev.
I'm sorry, my apologies. Again, the third thing was that he, Yoyev, supported Adoniah ben Chagis to be the successor to David HaMelech instead of Shlomo HaMelech. David was not happy about that, so therefore he was a murdered Malchus. So the Gemara is going to discuss each one of those chatoim individually. Zok the Gemara, Asiu li Yoyev Dine. They're now being done, Yoyev. Yoyev, why did you do all of these terrible chatoim? And we went in a row. Omalei, my time of Kotla Seli Avner. Why did you go and kill Avner ben Ner? Omar, Omalei, so he said, because Goyel Hadom de Asoel Havoy. Asoel apparently was a brother of Yoyev ben Tzruya. And Avner killed Asoel. And therefore Yoyev felt he's the Goyel Adam, he's the brother of Asoel, and he wants to go and now avenge the killing of his brother. And so therefore, that's the reason why Avner Yoyev went and killed again. My time of Kotla Seli Avner, we asked Yoyev, why did you kill Avner? He said, because Avner killed my brother Asoel. Omalei Goyel Adam Asoel Havoy. I'm the Goyel Adam Asoel. And therefore, I was entitled to go and kill him because he killed my brother. I ran after him, no problem. Zokti Yimora, one second, Asoel Roidef Ava. Asoel was a Roidef, meaning that he was the one running after Avner. And that being the case, Avner had the right to go and kill him because it was in self-defense. So what did you have the right to go and kill Avner for? Omalei, so Yoyev said, Hoyel Loil Hatzila Bi'echen Me'evarav. While it's true that Asoel was running after Avner, Avner had no right to go and shoot him in the heart or in the head or wherever.
Under the fifth rib, I think.
You're right. But I'm sorry.
Under
what? Rabbi said the Gemara is going to tell us shortly that he went and shot him under the fifth rib, and that's how he was able to kill him. Why the fifth rib? If everybody has a little bit of patience, you'll see the whole Gemara is going to be run very nicely and smoothly. So, again, Benayo is running after Yoyev, and he wants to go and kill him. Who's Benayo? He was the shliach on behalf of Shlomo HaMelech to kill Yoyev. Now he says to Yoyev, Yoyev, you deserve to be executed. Why? Because, number one, you killed Avner Ben-Ner. Says now, Yoyev, the reason why I killed Avner Ben-Ner is because he killed my brother Asoel. And therefore, I was the Goyel Hadam. I had a right to go and avenge the murder of Asoel, and that's why he killed Avner. Zok Timur, but Asoel Roidef Ava. Asoel deserved to be killed because Asoel was running after Avner, and therefore Avner doesn't have to just allow himself to be shot. He's allowed to go and kill him. And that's in fact what he did do. He went and killed Asoel, and therefore you, Yoyev, have no right to go and kill Avner, because Avner was just in self-defense. He was being pursued by Asoel, so when he went and he killed Asoel.
It had nothing to do with Iram Miklat.
Nothing to do with Iram Miklat, because this was intentional. This was not a shogeg, this was a retzeach. Amazing. Omalei, so Benayo said to Yoav, Omalei, hoyu loy lahatzila bi'echad meivarev. Although you had the right, as the avenger, as the Goel Adam, to go and take revenge for Asoel, for the fact that Avner killed him, but what you could have done is instead of shot, I know I'm going to say in the heart, so please have a little heart for me. The reason why you did not have to go and shoot him and kill him in the fifth choymish, in that fifth rib, what you could have done is you could have shot him in the leg, so he would have stumbled and fallen on the ground, and therefore he wouldn't have killed Asoel, and therefore you didn't have to go and shoot him to go and kill him. Asoel was running after Avner. Avner went and
resisted.
Let me collect my thoughts. Okay. Yoav, why did you kill Avner? He said, the reason why I killed Avner, because he killed my brother Asoel. Asoel had the right to go and kill Avner, because he was a roidev. And therefore, Asoel was running after Avner. What could... So he said to him, Omalei, it's taka true that Asoel was running after Avner, but Avner could have saved himself by just shooting Asoel in the leg, instead of shooting him in the fifth rib. Omalei, so he told him, lo yochele. He wanted to, but he wasn't such a precision mark. Stabber, why is he shot him? Probably shooter.
There was no shooting, it was a stabbing.
Was it a stabbing or was it done with a
spear?
With a spear or did he do it with an arrow? It doesn't really make a difference. The point is, when Nitzchem and the Tanakh share, we'll go through all of the aspects over here. But the point is, he could have killed him by shooting at the leg instead of going and killing him in the fifth rib. Omalei, see, he told him, Leyochalei. He was not able to. In other words, you're saying he was not such a marksman to be able to go and do such a precision strike to hit him in the legs, and therefore when he shot him, speared him, hit him, killed him, banged him over the head, stabbed him, any one of those synonymous terms. When he did it, it's not because he wanted to kill him. He had no choice. He was not able to be matzil b'yach mefar. On Malay, what you're saying is not true. Hashtu b'doivin chamishis. Kiven lay, he was mechavin to go and kill him in the fifth rib, tichsiv, vayiko, avner, biachre hachanis, el hachoymish, what's the choymish? Choymish means the fifth rib, the yomer, b'yoychanan, b'doifen chamishis, b'mokim, shemore, v'kovei, tluyim boy. If he was able to be such a marksman, to do it so precisely, there in the fifth rib, where the mor and kovei come together, and, I'm sorry, not come together, they're hanging from there. And he was able to kill him that way. You don't think he would be able to go and take the chanis and spear him on the leg instead of stabbing him there in that fifth toifen achamishis? So what you're saying is not correct. He could easily have just shot at the legs. That being the case, Avner had no right to go and kill Asoel. He could have prevented... He could have
immobilized him.
He could have immobilized him. Very good. So he had no right to do that, and therefore Avner deserved to be killed, says Yoav, and that's why I killed Avner, to avenge the death of Asar. So, says the Gemara, when Benayo heard all of this, Omalei, Nazel Avner. Nazel Avner, says Rashi, means we will acquit Avner for the killing of Asael, because he has a good diner. Asael could have gone and killed him. By not killed him, could have immobilized Avner. Could have immobilized Asoel, and instead he killed him. He didn't have to kill him, and therefore Yoav was justified in going and killing Avner, and therefore Nazel Avner. Nazel Avner, says Rashi, means we'll potter him for that. The fourth line, Dinar Shel Avner, potter Atolav. Okay, I understand. We are going to quit you on that. But my time, I cut the sale la masa. Why did you go and kill Amasa? Omalei, Amasa moed b'malchus aber. Amasa was a moed b'malchus. Well, how was he moed b'malchus? Amasa was originally working for, if you will, David HaMelech. He was one of his avodim. Tachziv ha'yam ha'melech la'amasa, David HaMelech said to Amasa, Hazik li es ish Yehuda shloishis yamin. I want you to go to Ish Yehuda and collect them together, because we're having a major war, and I want you to go and collect them, that they should be conscripted to the army to go and wage war. If you look at pasuk number 2 of the Torah, Shalom Yemen Melech El Amasa, Hazikli Es Ish Yehuda Shloishes Yomim, V'yata Po Yamoid, V'yelech Amasa L'Hazik Es Yehuda, V'yoychar, Min Hamoid Asher Yehodai. David Melech said within 3 days, and he was Me'acher. V'yoychar means that he delayed beyond the 3 days, and not because he missed the bus or he missed the train, but intentionally he was Me'acher. Like the Gemara quotes, so now, what happened as a result? Therefore, Amos is considered to be a Moed B'Malchus, because David HaMelech said, do it within 3 days, and he didn't do it in 3 days. He did it on day number 4, 5, 8, 10. The Gemara doesn't tell us how much later, but he delayed. If he's a Moed B'Malchus, he deserves to be killed. And that's why I, Yoyev, killed Amos. Omalei, son of Benayo, now responds to him, Amos Achen Verakin Dorash. Amos was within his right that he delayed. What's the Achen Verakim that we're talking about? So Gemara is going to quote a pasuk in another moment. Ashkechinu de Pasiach Luhu b'mesechta. When he came within the 3 days, Lahazik Es Yehuda, he found that all of the people that would have been soldiers were all learning in Besmedrish, and they just started a new Mesechta. The Pasiach Luhu b'mesechta. It doesn't tell us which Mesechta, but they were all learning Torah. Omar, so now he, Amasa, said, it says in the pasuk, "Sif kolish hashiyamres picha v'leyishma es tvarach al cholash itzavenu yumas." Now, this pasuk we are leaving out the last three words, which Gemara is going to bring in another moment. If you have number 3, kolish hashiyamres picha, whoever is going to be yamre, that means who's going to rebel against the king, v'leyishma es tvarach and won't listen to you, lechol asher titzavenu, anything and everything that you command him, yumas, will be deserving of Misa because he's a Moed B'Malchus. Rak Chazak V'Yematz. What is this Rak Chazak V'Yematz? So that's what he was doidish that Rakin, Achen V'Rakin, like we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. Ksiv Kalisha Shiyam Respich V'Liyishma Svarech V'Cholesh Yitzvenu Yumas Yochel Afil L'Divrei Torah. What happens if the words of the king are opposite or against what it says in the Torah? Which has the upper hand? Is it the king's command, or is it the Divrei Torah that have the upper command? Tamaloi merak chazak v'yabot. The rak means, achem rakim mi'utim heim, to go and say, here I don't have to listen to you, the melech. So you, the melech, would have wanted everybody to collect themselves and gather within 3 days. But since they're all learning Torah Gishmak, I gave them an extra day or two or three until they took a break, and then I finally brought them in. I collected them for the army.
Even if it's pikuach nefesh.
Even though that's according to our Gemara. So that being the case, says the Gemara, so Amasa had a very good justification why he delayed, not because he wanted to violate the king's head, but because people were learning, he didn't want him to be battle tired. So the Gemara, so ibazoi, then you, Yoyev, were not justified in killing Amasa, because Amasa was an erlechid, he did what he was supposed to. Yeah, it's true, he didn't listen to the Melech the first 3 days, but that's why it says, Rak Chazak V'Yamatz, that you're allowed to not listen to the king if people are learning Torah. So that's what he did. So therefore, that's already one strike against you, Yoyev, that you went and killed Amasa. But in addition to that, Elahu Gavra is also Moir B'Malchus, not that he, Amasa, was Moir B'Malchus, but you, Yoyev, were a Moir B'Malchus. Why? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Vashmua Bo, Ad Yoyev, Ki Yoyev not Achrei Adoiniyah. Yoyev followed Adoniah to be the successor to David HaMelech, when David HaMelech had already appointed Shlomo HaMelech to succeed him, and therefore this was a merida against David HaMelech in his waning days, because he went and supported Adoniah, the opposition to Shlomo. And the Pasuk says, and by the way, V'achri Avshalom loinata. In earlier years, he did not follow after Avshalom. Frank Demora, why are we bringing this? What does this have to do with anything? My loinata. After all, we're trying to find reasons why he was a Moed B'Malchus. We're not trying to go and save him. So my loinata. I'm Rav Yehuda Shebikish Lintois loinata. He really wanted to go and follow after him, but he was not able to. In other words, what this pasuk is saying is, after Adoniah, supporting Adoniah, he was there, full allegiance to Adoniah. When Avshalom, in earlier years, was fighting against David HaMelech, his heart, Yoyev's heart, was with Avshalom. However, the reason why he didn't go out full force, says the Gemara, is because he was scared. What was he scared of? So tomorrow, my time will not. I'm Reb Lozer. Adain lechluchis shel David kayemis. Lechluchis shel David means that David was still at his strength, and therefore he was afraid. If I'm going to go and fight against David the Melech by supporting Avshalom, that means I will pass away. Said Yoav about himself. Therefore, he didn't want to start up with David HaMelech. However, in later years, when he was already a Zokin Bo Bayomim, then Yoav figured he can go and support Adonijah, and nothing will happen because David HaMelech does not have enough strength to go and fight and kill Yoav. That was reason number one. Reason number one, why he was Loinota Achri Avshalom, meaning why he didn't physically go full force supporting Avshalom. He was worried about this lechluchis shel David. Rabbi Yosef Chanina says something similar. Omar adain itstagnine shel David kayam. Itstagnine David was still around. Now, normally Rashi points out the word itstagnine normally is referring to mazolois and choizim b'akrichovim, but over here it means the people upon whom he, David HaMelech, relied to win the battles. Who are those people? The Gemara is now going to quote a Gemara that we had earlier on a few weeks ago. Jomer of Yehuda Omer Rav, Arba Meis Yelodim, Hoyu Loi LeDavid, Kulu B'nei Yifas Toyer Hoyu, Megadli Bloyeres Hoyu, Mahalchen Baroshi HaGaisos Hoyu, Vehein Hein Bali Agroifin Shol David. David HaMelech had 400 such henchmen, such as real toughies. Good. Sorry? Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Whatever. Anyway, but he had 400 Yeladim. 400 Yeladim doesn't mean children. It means Bachurim. It means young fellows. Not his. Kulam B'nei Yifas Toyer. Not that David HaMelech had 400 B'nei Yifas Toyer, but rather that many of his military men in previous battles had lived with Yifas Toyer, and therefore they had children, which were technically Goyim until you go and are Megayer them. So therefore, they were strong henchmen, strong toughies. Megadli Bloyeres Hoyu. Bloyeres today means a chup, but in the good old days, a Bloyeres meant hair from the back, so they all had like ponytails in the back. Umahalchen Barashi Agaisis, and they were sent always to the front of all the troops. And the reason they did it is not only because of their sheer strength, but also they looked terrifying. They were very, very intimidating. The Hainain Bali Agroifin Shel David, they're the ones with, you know, the big muscles. Anybody saw them, he immediately wilted and ran away. Okay, so therefore, that's the second reason why Yoav didn't physically come out full force supporting Avshalom, because he was worried for his life, either from the lechluchis of David, or from these Bali Agroifin, these itztagninim. There's yet a third reason why David HaMelech was matzliach at the time. Meaning David and Yoav had, if you will, a good Yisachar Zvulun relationship. And that is, David learned Torah, and Yoav went out to Melchama. David oisem mishmer utztaka l'chol amoy. So these two are put together in one pasuk to teach you what Matan David osam mishmar tzedakah l'chol amai. How was he able to do tzedakah mishmar to mishmar tzedakah, meaning to go and paskin shaylus and to go learn with him and teach them Torah? Mishum diyoyev al tzava, because he was able to rely on Yoav in being the sar tzava, being the general. Umatam yoyev al tzava. How was Yoav successful in his battles? Because he had the schus of David HaMelech learning Torah with the folk. Okay, so therefore it was a nice combination, David and Yoav. So David's success was not because of the lichluchis shel David kayemes, that he was so strong. It was not because of the 400 itztagninim, the megadli bloyeres. The success of David HaMelech was because of his learning, and Yoav's being in charge of the tzava of the war, of the battles. Zokti Gemara, v'yetzi Yoav me'im David, v'yishlach malochim achrei Avner, v'yishiva oisei mibor hasira. So now, we're going back to the time when Yoav killed Avner. And what happened at that time? Yoav called for Avner, v'yishlach malochim, messengers, v'yishiva oisei, and they brought him Avner mibor hasira. What means me bor hasira? My bor hasira. Omer Rav Abba bar Kahana bor the sira The reason why Avner was killed by, not that he, the reason why he was killed, but the reason why he became susceptible to being killed is because he erred in two cases, one involving a bar and one involving a sira. Both of those cases are when Avner was supporting Shaul HaMelech. And in each case, when Avner was the Sar Tzava there by Shaul, he easily could have said a good word about David HaMelech to Shaul, but he refused to, and therefore he was eventually killed. Now, what were the good words that he could have said? So Rashi brings here two stories. Both of the stories are similar. Both were that Shaul HaMelech was sleeping, and then when he wakes up in the morning, he discovers something different than usual. The first case was the bar. Bar meaning, apparently he had something akin to a negel vasa shisel near his bed, where you go and wash in the morning, negel vasa. And he woke up one morning, and it's not there. Who took it away? David HaMelech took it away. David HaMelech could have killed him, but he didn't. He had rachmunis on him. And he, Avner, knew that David HaMelech had taken it away, and he could have said to Shaul, don't fight David anymore. You see, he's such a gutzkite. He could have killed you last night, he just took away your negel vasa. And somebody else probably brought him new negel vasa. That was one case. The second case is that, again, Shaul HaMelech was sleeping, David HaMelech found him, and he took the corner of his garment and he went and cut it off to go and show him, or at least he made holes in it or whatever. So go and show him, I could have killed you, Shaul, but I didn't. All I did was I damaged your garment. Avner knew about this, and instead he said, you know what happened? It must have gotten torn on Echad HaSirim. Sirim are like koitzim, are thorns, and therefore, why don't we see the Rashi inside? So that'll become really crystal clear. Bar v'sira, it's parallel to where we are in the Gemara. Bar v'sira, gar muloyli avnesh en herag. Bar is tzapachas mayim, shalokach dovid mirashoysev shol shol, kisho yoshen b'magel. He, Shaul HaMelech, was sleeping. Magel means that the troops were surrounding him like an eagle, like a circle. And David HaMelech was able to get through that circle, come close to Shaul, took away the tzapachas amayim, this basin of water, and he didn't do anything to Shaul HaMelech. Ukshomelhem David b'nei mavis atem, shloi shemartem es adeneichem, said now David to Shaul's soldiers and followers, you all deserve to be killed. You didn't go and watch your odin properly. I could have gone and killed him at that time. And therefore, what does it say in the pasuk? Where's that shisel? Where's that basin of water? Oh, because I was the one that took it away. So Avner should have said to Shaul quietly in the air and whispered to him, look what a wonderful person David HaMelech is. You're fighting him to kill him. He's a tzaddik. Shli hargecha. He could have killed you. He was right next to you. That's why he took away the basin. Flei micha. He didn't say anything. El omar. Shem echad mimnei atzova nostam lai. He acted as if, you know, he didn't know what was going on. So maybe one of the military men, he gave the tzapachas away to David. Not that David got close to you, but somebody else borrowed that basin. And therefore, bottom line is, he didn't say anything nice that he could have about David HaMelech to try to put the parties together. And similarly, the sira is koitz. Koitz is a thorn. Kishakor is David is knaf me'iloi shol shol b'ma'ara. On another occasion, when David HaMelech went and cut off the knaf me'il, meaning the corner of his garment of shol, ho'ilogli avdol lamitz chus al David loymar lishol. He should have said to Shaul HaMelech, re'ei kamachos olecha yisi had rachmanis le'hargecha b'yoscha yachar im ma'ara. He could easily have killed you. And all he did was he went and tore off a piece of your jacket, of your coat. Rather, what did he say, Shaul? You know how this got cut off? Maybe when you were passing by a thorn bush, a thorn tree, or whatever, one of those thorns got stuck in the corner of your beged. And this is what, so it's either that the koitz or the seer was what that cut it off, or that was David HaMelech that was hiding and he cut it off. But anyway, the point of all of this is that the Gemara says that Avner deserved to die because he went he was supporting Shaul, and he easily could have put in a good word for David, and he refused him. So that's the back to the pasuk. They brought him back to be killed by Yoav, and he was the reason why Avner died was because of these two averus in the Bor Desira. My Bor Desira, Rabba Bar Kana, Bor Desira, Gormulai, like we just said in the Rashi, Le Avner Sheihori, because of the Tzapachas Amayim, that basin of water, and on the second case of the Sira, that he attributed the damaged garment to Koitzim, to thwart. So now it says in the Pasuk, Yateu Yoav El Toich HaShar, Yoav brought him now into Toich HaShar, Lidaber Itoi Bishali, to go and talk to him, Bishali. Where's Shali when we need him? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Shadonu Din Sanhedrin. The fact that it says El Toich HaShar, since it says by the Sanhedrin that they're supposed to El Zikni Iroi Vel Shar Makoimoi, they're supposed to be in the Shorecha. So this is a reference, is an allusion to the Sanhedrin, and that he now Yoav was being done Avner as if he was the Sanhedrin. Amalei, he said to him, "My time of Kotlus Eil Asoil. Why did you go and kill Asoil?" Remember, we had that in the top of the Yomud, that Yoav was taking revenge against Avner for killing Asoil. So he said, "Asoil right in for you. Asoil was running after me, so I had to go and shoot to kill. I'm sorry, not to shoot." He took the chanis, not in the heart, but rather into the fifth rib. So Asoil was running after me. Why didn't you go and kill him in, not kill him, but immobilize him in the legs? Why did you go and kill him? I wasn't such a precision marksman to be able to go and kill someone. When you take a chanis, you sometimes you miss. So tomorrow, don't tell me that business. As we sit at the top of the Yomid, you went and took the chanis and you hit him there in the fifth rib. For that, you don't need as much precision. Certainly, you could have gone to one of his other Eivarim and immobilized him instead of killing him. Period. Now it says in the Pasuk that when Avner came in, he came in the Dabar Itoy Bishali, Vos Mentos Bishali, Omavira Marav Al Iske Shaloi. Woman Shaloi. So Rashi says the word shal is similar to the pasuk that we have by Moshe, that he shal ni'alecha mi'al raglecha ki'ad adoma, that you're standing on admas kodeshu. So what means shal? To go and remove one's shoes. So what was the story? The Gemara doesn't tell us the story, but Rashi fills in the blank that he, Yoav, engaged Avner in Divrei Torah, and because both of them were choshev v'tamid chacham, and he said to Avner, "Tell me what happens if you have a Yevama who has mechuyeves to be cholzim nali mi'araglai, but she has no arm. She nebuch a gidmis, she is an amputee. She has no arm, she has no hand to remove the na'olim from the Yevam's foot. So she's going to be stuck because she can't do a chalitza." So that's the iske shaloi of the removal of the shoe. What happened? So he, Avner Bener, said, "There's another Eitzah, and the Eitzah is she can go and take her teeth to go and remove the shoe of the Yavam," and he wanted to demonstrate it, and he bent over. As he bent over, Yoav went and took the chanis and went and killed him. Now, if you're wondering, where do I take this from? Look at the Rashi, the first wide line all the way down below. Al iski shaloi, loshoin shel nalcha, loshin of the shal niolecha, like you said before, that's the shaloi or shaloi, it's referring to that shal. Shaloi ba'orma, he, Yoav, said to Avner with cunning, "Yivam magidmis, Yivam that never has no arms, no hands, hecholetis, how can she do a chalitza?" Hischel shoicha mufanov, so therefore Avner started bending over in front of him, umareyu, and he was showing him, he was probably going close to his own shoe, or the shoe of Yoav. You're going to take your teeth to remove the shoe. For who shall of Charboi, whilst he was bending over, Yoav took out his Cherev and Bahargoi, and he went and killed him. So he killed him with the Chagar Yashub Masnav, in other words, the sword or the spear that he had in his Masnaim, in his loins. He didn't kill him with a Nal, but with that pretense that he asked him about how the Gidmus is going to go and perform Chalitza. So getting back to our Gemara now. So now, this is mamish, what we would call a midah keneged midah, because we said at the top that Avner had killed Asoel in the fifth rib, so now he, Yoav, killed Avner in the fifth rib. Right, that's what the Gemara says, right? That's where the Mara and the Kovet are there together. The Kovet is the liver, Mara is the
gallbladder.
Thank you. It's the gallbladder together with the Kovet are there, and therefore if you go and shoot, not shooting, if you go and stab, spear, cherev, cut, then chas v'shalom, the person dies. So just like he had Avner had killed Asoel in the Choymesh. He now, Yoav, went and took revenge, Midah Keneged Midah, and he killed him also in the Choymesh in that same place. So now it says, Vayit in the Pasuk, Veheshev Hashem es domay al roishoy. So now he is getting punished. Who's getting punished? That Yoav, Asher poga b'shnei anoshim tzedikim, v'toiv mimenu. He went and killed two people with tzedikim and better than him. Toiv m'shoy yudorishin ach v'rakim. What is all of this about? So we said already at the top that Yoav killed both Avner. I'm sorry, Roishay. Avner was now being killed, revenge for his having done two bad things. He killed Shnei Anoshim Tzadikim. Am I saying it correctly? Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi, the third wide line. Shehem Dorsha Achmerakim Shloi Lekayim Mitzvah Melech. Laval divrei Torah, that Amasa kinam amarin. That's what we said about Amasa before. That even though Amasa on the surface was a moed b'malchus, because he wasn't gathering all the yidn and Yehuda within 3 days, he delayed. But the reason is because he darshan that achen v'rakin, ach or rak chazak v'yamot. So he didn't listen to David HaMelech, but he did. He was right because he didn't want to be oyved divrei Torah. Is Amasa kinam amarin. Avner, when Shaul said to his avodim, "Soibu ve'misu es kahani Hashem." This is by the Masa of Noiv Ir Kahanim. Uksiv lo avu avdi Shaul lishloach yodam v'livkaya. Avner was among a group that did not want to go and kill the Noiv Ir Kahanim, and he was steadfast. V'lo avu, they didn't want to do it. Ah, so therefore, what did you do now, you Yoav? You killed two grace finer mention. You killed Amasa, that did not listen to the king, because he wanted to allow them to learn longer. And you killed Avner, who was also a good fellow, in the sense that he did not want to go and participate in the slaughter of Noiv Ir Kahanim. So, we are now saying that Yoav killed two wonderful people, Amasa and Avner.
Good.
Yes.
Didn't we previously mention that Avner deserved to die because he didn't put in a good word for David twice?
He deserved to die, but nevertheless he was a tzaddik in other respects, or a toiv in other respects, and therefore, compared to Yoav, he was still greater than Yoav, and now Binayo is going to go and kill Yoav because of the fact that Ashapog, Mishnei, Anoshim, Tzadikim, and Toiv, Mimeno. These two are considered to be Avner and Amasa better than Yoav, notwithstanding that the Gemara said before that Avner also erred by not telling Shaul about how good David HaMelech was. Anyway, Toiv Sheyidorish and Ach Barakim, like we just said, V'huloi Dorish, V'huloi Dorish. Furthermore, Tzadikim Shehein Bepeh V'huloi Asu, they were greater in righteousness than he, Yoav, because they heard directly from the king, V'huloi Asu. What does it mean directly from the king? In the case of Amasa, David HaMelech said to Amasa, go and collect the yidden from Yehuda. And he didn't do it. He delayed to allow them to go and learn. So he told them, peh el peh, ponim el ponim. Similarly, by the case of Avner, Shaul had said to Avner, as well as the other people, go and kill Noiv Ir Kahanim, and he refused to participate. So he said, so he shows their tzidkus that were very, very, very strong in their convictions and their beliefs. V'hu b'igeris also, and he did it based on nigeris. What means who? That now we go on to, again, a tangent, a different story, that David HaMelech had told Yoav to go and kill, based on who to kill, to go and kill Uriah HaChiti. not to go and kill him directly, but by sending him to the forefront, in the battlefront, and then Uriah was killed because of David wanting Bathsheba. So now, this was not David addressing Yoav directly, but rather he sent it to him in a letter. And can you imagine, there when the kings said, Bepem Molei Fleyosov, they refused to listen. Here, Yoav didn't even hear Bepem, he just was Igeris. What you would say is in Doimishmi Lariya, he just got a letter. And nevertheless, Asa, he followed suit and he went and sent Uriah to the front. So therefore that's why they're considered to be, those two are considered to be Tzad Siddiqim Vitovim Mimana. It says Vait to the Pasik, Vamosalay Nishmar Bacherev Asher Biyad Yoav. Amosa was not careful about the cherev that Yoav had, with which Yoav used to go and kill Amosa. He wasn't choshed him that he, Yoav, is going to go and kill him, Amasa. Now it says at the end that Yoav was buried in his home in the Midbar. Pray to Muratu Beisei Midbar, who? When he abides in the Midbar, that doesn't sound congruous. You don't only have a bias in the Midbar. We call a bias in the Midbar. Omer Yehuda Omer Rav, not Ba Midbar, no Ka Midbar. Ma midbar mufkel akol, af beisav shu Yoav mufkel akol. What we're saying is some nice things about Yoav, that even though Yoav was eventually killed by Benayo for the three sins that we spoke about killing Avner, killing Amosa, and supporting Adoniah, but now the Gemara is also being melamed zchus and saying Yoav wasn't totally bad. He had his home open to the public, just like Avraham Avinu had his home open 24/7. He too, Yoav, he had constant achnosis orchim for people. Look at the Rashi, four lines from the bottom. He covered bebeisim amid, but Yoav ksiv, three lines from the bottom. Mufka lakol aniyim lisparnis bebeisim. All the aniyim can come and eat and be merry and get alms and get food, etc. Dover achen nochapshat kamidbar ma midbar menuka migezav arois av beisim shul Yoav menuka migezav arois. Even though he's had his home open at all times for people, don't think that he or anybody else in his household, Chas v'Shalom, ever stole. The money that he was giving and the food that he was giving, that was from honestly earned money. There was no gezel involved. And don't think that as a result of the home being hefker, the Chas v'Shalom, that men and women were doing things that they shouldn't do. It was menukim, gezel aroyis. It was a mikdash ma'at in a sense. But nevertheless, for the other sins, he was killed. But now the Gemara ends off with one last tribute to Yoav. What does that mean? Meaning, when people would come to his home to go and get food, you would think, oh, he would give them bread together with some dips, or together with hummus, or with some peanut butter, or jelly. No, no, no. When he himself got the benefit of munini v'tzachanta means small fishlach. In other words, in the good old days, we would have said sardines and herring. Today, people would say sushi. So when he would get that for himself, he didn't just eat it on his own, but Paris Louis said, Aniyim, come on over, share with me the sushi. I have both the raw fish sushi and I have the vegetable sushi, and it's all delicious. And if you don't like that, I still have some sardines and some gefilte fish and some herring. So therefore, we see how generous he was. He didn't just give them the bare essentials. He gave them a much, much nicer, grander fashion. There's a word that we say, there are a lot of people, when they see people coming to them for support, they say, you know, the reason why that person needs support, if he would live the same lifestyle as me, he wouldn't need to go and get money. But he lives a, such an extravagant lifestyle, and so that's why he's always poor, he never has enough money. He should fly like me. I always fly the cheapest airline, economy class. He has to go and fly his business class, or first class. Or when he comes
A Schwitzer.
Or he comes to my house to collect money. He doesn't come on a bicycle. He has a Tesla outside in front of the door. If he would live like me, he would go on roller skates. He wouldn't go and get a Tesla. He'd be able to afford it. So it says about Osher, says in the one of the brachas, Osher Shmeina Lachmoy Vuyite Madani Melech. Osher lived b'tzimtzum. Shmeina Lachmoy, he only had a piece of bread. Maybe from time to time he put on the bread, he put a little hummus or put some shantchina or schmaltz or something. Osher Shmeina Lachmoy, his lechem was Shmeina, he said, that's all I need, I don't need any more than that. That Shmeina, that is my schmaltz, that is my that's going to supply me and satisfy me. It's like shomein. It's real. Not that it was fatty, but it's, my lechem is like it's fatty in the sense that I'm it's kishmak. Now, so somebody comes to him and asks him for tzedakah. You would think he would go and say, "Okay, I'm going to give you. I have a piece of bread. I'll give you also a piece of bread." No, v'huyite madani melech. When somebody came to collect from him, he said, "You don't have to live my lifestyle. Just because I live b'tzimtzum, for you, I'm going to go and give enough money to go and buy fish and cholent and kigel and roast beef and sushi, whatever you need." V'huyite madani. So here they're saying the same thing about Yoav. Doesn't seem that Yoav himself abstained from the delicacies. He also ate, but whatever he had, personally, he would share with others. He didn't keep it just for himself.
And just one before, up in early, when you first gave the story, when when they were questioning
Yoav,
so they said, why did you kill Asael? And he said, because he was a Rodev.
Mm-hmm.
And then we answered, but you could have killed him.
Not because he was a Rodev.
No, because
he was the Goldam. He was the Goldam.
He was the Goldam, but in turn, Asael was also trying to kill
Avner.
Avner?
Yes.
Yoav killed Avner. Avner killed Asael.
Anyway,
Asael. Right.
So, but anyway, the more just sort of left off. It didn't give a. It didn't say. Well, yes, he was for that reason. How did we just left it there?
No.
It was deflected.
Yes, it was deflected. What happened was again, Yoav, why did you go and kill Avner? He says, the reason why I killed Avner, because Avner killed Asael.
His brother.
Was his name Asael?
Yeah.
Okay, so good. So he said Asael. I'm sorry, he didn't say Asael, his brother. His brother Asael. Good. So Yoav went and killed Avner, and he said, no, why did you go and kill Avner? Well, because he killed my brother Asael. Oh, yeah, but Asael should have been killed. Why should he have been killed? Because he was running after Avner. So Avner had a right to self-defense, and that's why he killed Asael. Says Yoav, what he could have done, not the Yoav, it was a Yoav, he said, instead of going and killing Asael, Avner could have just he could have taken his chanis, or he could have taken his cherub, and he could have immobilized him and said, no, he wasn't able to, he wasn't such a marksman that he was able to do with such precision. Ah, you're telling me that's not true, because after all, he killed him, that shows he knew exactly how to go and kill someone precisely, so he could have immobilized him precisely. Why didn't he do that? That's why Avner is a bad guy, and because of that, that's why he went and killed Avner. He said, you know what you said makes a lot of sense, so Nezel Avner, let's forget about the story of Avner, because you had some justification as the Goyle Adam for your brother Asael in killing Avner. Avner was only acting in self-defense. No, he wasn't just self-defense. He could have defended himself by hitting him, immobilizing him, but he didn't. Rather, he killed him. Therefore, I had the right to go and kill him. And they said, "Okay, you're potter." That's the fourth line from the top. The Morsa Amulei Nezel the Avner Dina Shel Avner Potter Atolav. The defense that you gave was a very effective justification. I'm not going to bother you anymore about the fact that you killed Avner. But let's go now to the second chait that you did, and that was that you killed Amasa. Well, he was a Moir B'Malchus. Oh, even though he was Moir B'Malchus, Akin V'Rachin Dorash, that we can delay because of learning Torah. Okay. Is good?
Yeah.
Hanlach Nigmar Edin, Hanlach Nigmar Edin, Hanlach Nigmar Edin. And now we go back to, we leave Agadah, so we go back to Halacha. Arba Misais, that's the famous Arba Misais. Bezin, Zoktin, Zemishna, Arba Misais, Nimsel Bezin. What are the four Misais? Skila, Sreifa, Herig, V'Chanek. Each one of them we're going to discuss in great detail, with the exception of Skila, which we've already gone through in great detail. But Treif, Herig, V'Chanek, exactly how that worked, when, was, when, it's all going to be explained to Miat Shem in due course. Reb Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama in two respects. Number one, it's not Skila and Treif, it's Treif and Skila, and it's not Herig, V'Chanek, it's Chanek, V'Herig. Meaning that there's a pecking order over here, which is the worst. According to Tanakhama, Skila is worse than Treif. According to Reb Shimon, Treif is worse than Skila. According to Tanakhama, Herig is worse than Chenek. According to Shimon, Chenek is worse than Herig. What's it based on? Psukim Mitzvah, we'll see in the Gemara. Now, the Mishnah finishes off, Zum Mitzvah Saniskolim. What does that mean, Zum Mitzvah Saniskolim? Says Rashi, that this is really referring back to the previous Perek, when we learned all about a niskel, the whole procedure, the whole 9 yards, and after the skila, then the kliya, all of that. So we already went through that, says the Mishnah. Future Mishnayos are going to go through the procedures related to the other three, Sreita, Herig, and Herig. Now, this Rav Amrav Schura Ravuna is not going on our Mishnah. This is an independent memra, which we're shortly going to link to our Mishnah. But in the meantime, what do they say? Anytime the Chachamim went and enumerated a whole series of whatever items or whatever things, it doesn't really matter if you say number one is three and three is two and two is four, four is two. There's no real sequence. It's just you can't say all of the words at one time. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu can say Zof Hashem of Dibur Echad. So therefore he enumerated a whole bunch, but Lav Dafka, one before two, two can go before one. Chutz, except for the Shiva Samanim. What are the Shiva Samanim? What happens if you have a woman that wakes up in the morning and she finds on her clothing, she finds a kesem of dam, so we will need to determine, is she a nida or not a nida? So one of the ways to go and determine is it removable by using the following 7 different types of soaps, so to speak? Tanan. What are the 7? Shiva samanim mavirim al hakesem. You go and put these 7 on top of the kesem, and if the kesem ultimately is washed out as a result of these 7, is a siman that it was blood. If it turns out, however, that you use these 7 and still the stain remained in the garment, is a siman, says Rashi, that it was dye and it wasn't a kesem of blood in the first place, and therefore she's muteris labal. Now, what are these 7 samanim that can remove the kesem? We started with roik tofel. Roik, of course, is spittle. Tofel, says Rashi, means that it is raw spittle, which is totally undiluted. That this person hasn't eaten for the whole day, so therefore, don't think in this spittle that there has a psashtikal tam of the orange juice, of the coffee, of the tea, of the sushi, or whatever the person normally would eat or drink during the day. This is reikam. It's totally dry spittle in the sense that there is no dilution with any machal or any mishtah. Umei grisin. So you first try that out on the blood, on the stain. If it doesn't work, then you go to mei grisin. Mei grisin, says Rashi, mei li'isas grisin shel pul. Pul are usually beans. So somebody was chewing on beans, and now the saliva that comes out as a result of the chewing on the beans, you put that on that kesem, and see if it removes it. And then meiraglayim. Meiraglayim is urine, but it's not just any urine. Rashi says, shechmitzu visrichu. In other words, they were sitting or standing for a while in some sort of container, and after a few days, there's already a stench. So that stench shows that it already has some sort of kind of acidic qualities to it. Not hasidic, potency. No, acidic. Potency. Oh, even better word. Thank you. Meiraglayim. And then you'd go and take Nasser. Nasser, says Rashi, min adamahu, the Korean law, Nisra, some sort of earth that apparently also can use to remove stains. And then you have Uboiris. Boiris, normally today we say is soap. But Rashi says, Boiris is the name of an Esev, which is Maverick Samim, and it has an interesting name in French, Irbino Shabunraya. Anyway, that's the next thing. Then you have Kamulia. Kamulia, says Rashi, elsewhere it says in Shas that this is called Shloif Deutz, and I don't know what that is. It's 2 days in a row we had a Rashi says, I'm not sure what this is all about. And then the final one is Ashlag. Ashlag, says Rashi, is something that you find a cream inside oysters. When you open up oysters to go and remove from them pearls, then you find around those pearls is a slime, okay. Nimtza benikve margulius or oilis bitechayam. When you're pulling out these margulius and these pearls, which come out of the oysters, you'll find there's some sort of liquid that you can put on the kesem to remove it. Uktani seifa. Now the seif of that mishnah, this is a mishnah b'sechus nida. In that mishnah, the seif, it says, Haviran shaloikis sidran, oy shaviran shavasan ki'echa lo'yosav aleiklam. The only times that these 7 have that potency to be able to go and remove the stain is only if you do it in order. You start off with the right tafel, and then you go to the mei grisim, mei reglaim, the nasa, buris, kamulia, and ashlik. That's 7 altogether. If you do it in that order, and then the kesem is removed, then you know, this is a kesem shildam. If, on the other hand, if it was not removed, then you know that it was just simply dye. But that only works, and you can have that final halachic determination if you were maverim kisidran. However, if you did, for instance, make Greason first and write Tuffel second, or Kamulia first and Boris second, or in other words, you mixed up the Seder, not in sequence, or if you decided to go and put all seven together at one time to pour it on, that is not a raya whatsoever, whether it was dam or it was dai. So that's the only case, says the Gemara, when a Mishnah lists a whole bunch of entities, that it's gotta be Kisidron. Says the Gemara, Papa Saba, Mishmei Derav, not to be confused with our Papa. Rav Papa was one of the last Amirayim. Rav Papa Saba was a Talmud of Rav, which is much earlier on, because Rav was spanning the Toiris of the Tanoim and the Amirayim. So that's probably how Rav Papa Saba got his name, Rav Papa the Elder, because he was much older than the later Rav Papa. Anyway, so Rav Papa Saba, Mishmei Derav, Omar, Av Arbam Nisois. Look in our Mishnah. It lists the Skilus Reif Herig V'chenik. Don't tell me it's Lav Dafka that maybe Herig V'chenik is more Chomor than Skilus Reif. How do I know that it's Dafka not Lav Dafka? May it come off of Reb Shimon Shema, no Dafka Ktoni. Oh, so you see that Reb Shimon disagrees, is the Chassimon that is Taka Dafka in this order. That Skil is the most Chomor and Chenik is the least. And Reb Shimon disagrees. So why are you telling me only by the Shiva Samamanim? So the Gemara, you're right. What you said, Papa Saba, is correct. However, this Rava Amar of Schura Amar of Una, they didn't want to get into Machloikis. And they're saying, whenever you find a Stam Mishnah without any Machloikis that lists 3, 5, 10, whatever entities, typically Ein Muktam Ucha Batayra, except the case of the Shiva Samamanim, and parenthetically also our Mishnah. But I'm not going to talk about our Mishnah because we don't want to get into Machloikis. Papa Amar, I have another case. Av Seder Yuma, we learned in Masechtas Yuma, Kol Masiyah Mikipurim, Amurim Al Seder, Emhiktim Mas Lechaber Liyosu Leklum. You have to do everything like the Seder that's written out there in the Mishnayos in Masechtas Yuma. And if you reverse it, if you do the Ktoiris before the Par or the Soyer before the Par, and if you do some of the spritzing inside the Kodesh before you do the Kodesh Kadoshim, if you don't do the Paroiches first, but you put on the Mizbeach first, and after you was a break, if you didn't do it in order, Liyosav Aleiklam. Ah, so I see another case. Why did Rabban Rav Chaskur Amar Rav Huna say only the case of Shiva Samamonim? The whole Masechta, not the whole Masechta, but I think it's the third Perek, whichever Perek it was that goes through the Seder of Yuma, then that Masi Gipur is Dafka Ketani. And you say, Lav Dafka. V'idach ahu Chumra Ba'alma. No, that's only a Chumra. Now, logically, when you say Chumra Ba'alma, it sounds like, yeah, L'chadchili, you should do it that way. But if not, it's also good. But you can't say that, because the Mishnah is a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Em hikdim maslach v'eli yosef v'leiklum. So don't tell me it's a Chumra Ba'alma. It's got to be done that way. So Rashi has a very novel explanation of the Gemara. He doesn't say the Chumra Ba'alma means that it's just a Chumra, but he's saying that the Chumra involved is not in any of the various avoidos that you're doing on Yom Kippur, but rather it's because the whole Yom Kippur is Chomor. And when we were talking about enumerations of various entities, one after the other, we're talking about the Chumra of one compared to the other, as opposed to Yom Kippur, when none of the particular avoidos are more Chomor. Par is not more Chomor than Soyer is not more Chomor than Par, it's not more Chomor than the Inyan of Toidus, it's just the Chumra of Yom Kippur in its entirety. Let's see quickly that Rashi. That Rashi is starting the first wide line down below. Av Seder Yuma. Tavoyitzim Kippur, Masaduris, B'mishna, B'mesechtes Yuma, Zuachar, Zu, Dafka, Tan. It's going to be Dafka. This first, second, third, fourth. Ve'idah Chomalach, Devadai, Dafka, Ketani. 100% you're right, it's Dafka. Umil, Chumra Ba'almahu. What does that mean? Shehechmer HaKosim, B'avoidis, Uysei Hayoim. Toir was Machmir on the Avoid of Yom Kippur. She'im Shina, B'sidroi Posel. It's not because any particular avoid is more chashuv than the other. And that's why we're listing it in order in Masechtas Yuma, because this is more chomer, it's more chashuv. No. It says by Yom Kippur, Chukas Oilum L'Doyre Seichem Chomoy Shvei Seichem, it says Chuka B'Sidura Li'akib. To tell you, it's got to be the Seder. V'chiyom Reinen Anan. When were we talking about the Seder of the Mishnayis, if it's Dafka, Lav Dafka? V'mini d'chashivusa goramle, ki goin arba misis. T'mrin l'kaman d'zu chamura mizu. There we're talking about this taka chumra, or a chashivus, one over the other. This is more chumra than the other. So that's why it has a sequence. V'chem yishev esam amonim, shitzorche v'koychei shokol echad, v'yechad, goramle v'kodem. the potency of each one of these removing stains, that's what gives it precedence and the sequence in that order. B'chei that we're going to talk about shortly by the Kohen, by Kehanim, that they put the Mechlesayim on first. Sheshir Kedron HaKosav Lakdima and Kil Kamon. It's not a chumr or chashivas in any one of the enumerated avoidos there in the Mishnah, but rather it's the chumr hayoyim shloy leshano isboy v'loy koyach avoidos. So it's not in the avoidos where the chumr is; it's in the yoyim, which is a very novel pshat. But that's the way you have to learn our Gemara, because you cannot say the idach. Idach meaning over here, Rav Papa. He's saying it's only Chumr Ba'almo, not Rav Papa. Rav Om Rav Schura Om Rav Huna, who disagrees with Rav Papa. These are Amayroim. If they're Amayroim, how can they disagree with the Mishnah? The Mishnah is Eitach Beferish. If you are Makdim one to the Chaver, it's not just a Chumr. So he's saying Chumr Ba'almo, it's a Chumr that's not inherent or intrinsic in any one of the avoiders of Yom Kippur. It's a Ba'alma is such a universal chumrah that applies to every Yom Kippur, that all of its avoiders have to be in that order, but not because of the avoiders themselves. Okay, so bottom line is, that's the reason why he didn't go and include that in his enumeration. When Rav Amaschurim Rafuna said, he didn't include Yom Kippur, because in Yom Kippur there's no chumrah or chashivis, one avoider over the other. Rafuna Brevishu Amar Af Seder Tomit. Diktani Allah, Zeu Seder Tamid. In Mesechtes Tamid, where it tells you the Seder that you're supposed to bring the Seder Tamid every single day, when you're supposed to go and do the Trumas Hadeshen, when you're supposed to go and do the preparing of the Torahs, when you do the Hatova Samanoira, all that is part of the Seder Tamid. And it says over there in the Mishnah, Zeu Seder Tamid. Oh, so therefore, there too, you see that it's supposed to be done that way. The Idach, the reason why Ravam, Rav Schurim, Rav Huna didn't mention that, because halu mitzvah alma, that's not a chiyuv, it's just a mitzvah. In other words, as opposed to all the others where it's got to be tzma'akiv like Yom Kippur, even by Talmud, if you did the Hatovah Samanoira earlier or later, or you did the Trumas Hadeshen earlier or later, okay, the chadchila, you're supposed to do it the way you're supposed to, but if you didn't, it's not ma'akiv. So lafuki, so what did Rav Amar Schur Amar Rav Huna have in mind when he said that kol ha-teira kula ein muktam ochem ha-teira, except for the shiva samimanim? What he had in mind was a mitzvah chalitza. What's lafuki mitzvah chalitza? Did not. We learned the Masechta Yavamis, mitzvah chalitza, bo hu v'yavem tov ne-bezen, the Yavam and the Yavama come in front of Bezen, o yinoistam lay eitzah yenis. Before we start off, the Bezen says, sir, we want to go and give you some good, strong advice. What's the advice? Our Gemara doesn't go into it, but Rashi says that we say to the two that if they are in great difference of age, there's a big age differential, we say to the 80-year-old Yavam, why would you want to marry a 30-year-old Yavam? Or vice versa. A 30-year-old Yavam, why would you want to marry an 80-year-old Yavam? Right? I'm not making it so. Rashi says this. Fuke, Yameres, Eitzigenesla. You see the big wide lines? Go down about 10 lines in the wide lines. Eight again is laying in the middle of the line. Shemhoyu hu zake v'hi yalda. If he's old and she's young. Hu yalad, he's young, v'hi zakena. Oymam like klach eitzel shekamoysa. Why don't you go and take someone in your same age group? If you're going to be an 80-year-old, she's a 30-year-old, she's going to want to travel, and you're going to say, eh, chandishka koyach. If you're going to be a 30 and she's an 80, you're going to want to travel. Go in there. Find someone in the same age, more or less. You don't have to be exactly the same, but someone therefore that will appreciate you, you'll appreciate her. That's eitz genus leishenem of a kol lo yizikne iroi v'dimru elop. Doesn't say what the dimru elop. So that's the eitz. After that, the he oimeris, and now she says me'en yivam milahakim lachem shem biyisrael li avayami vu oimer lechafatz lekachta. So first she makes a declaration, then he makes a declaration. This is all said in Hebrew, not said in English or other languages. And then Venikshi Yivim Tayal is Kanim, Elov Enias Kanim, and Chotzin Naloi, and then she removes the shoe, Fiarka Bafanov, and then she has to spit in front of him. Roy Kanir Le Dianim, Roy, which is visible to the Dianim, in other words, not just a drop of saliva, but a nice portion of saliva, so that they should see what's going on. Vion Sviyamar Kochi Yosalish. And then at the end, Venikshi Shoy Yisrael, Beis Chalutzanot. So this is the whole procedure there in the Mishnah. Vion Rav Yehuda. Mitzvahs chalitza, koira, v'koira, chalatzes, v'rekekes, v'koira. What Rav Yehuda does is, in very succinct language, he just repeats that Mishnah. Mitzvahs chalitza is koira, first she is koirei and she says me'en yavami, and then the koirei, and then he says lechafatz lekachta, then she's choletis v'rekekes, and then the koirei, and then she goes and says va'onz va'omer kochi yosel ish, and then the Klal Yisrael says together v'nikishmo Yisrael v'eschalusana va'avirim ba. And then when we were learning Rav Yehuda after all is an amoira. Rav Yehuda Bar
Yecheskel,
as opposed to Rav Yehuda
Bar Eloi.
So Mike Kamashulan, what does he come to tell us? Vasisini, he's just telling us in very short form what that Mishnah said at length. The Gemara Kamashulan Mitzvah Hachi. It's a mitzvah. That notice how did Rav Yehuda start? Mitzvah Chalit, and the mitzvah Chalit. L'chad Chalit, do it this way. V'yapich Leslamba. But if you switched it around, for instance, says Rashi, if you did Roikekes before Chaylet says, the Brisa says it. Tana Mihachi. Bein shehiktem chalitza l'kika oy rikika l'chalitza, mash asa asa. He says, gimach. This is good. Even though the chetchili is supposed to do it like it says in the pasuk, chalitza and rikekes, but the diyam ben mash asa asa. Ah, so therefore, this is what Rav Huna at the top of the Amid was excluding. The kamokim shishanu chachamim, ein muktim u'ukhar. So if you do the rikika before the chalitza for rikika, nishkefech. Vafukim me'adat nan, and also to exclude another Mishnah. What did it say in the Mishnah? Koyin Godol, Mishabesh Veshmoyna Kalim, he wore 8 begodim. The Hejid Barba, what were those 4? Ksoynis, Michnasayim, Mitznefes, Viavet. Moise Valen, Koyin Godol, in addition to the 4, Yad Choshe V'yefoy, Il, Vitzit. V'tanya, Minangshli Heidover Koyin Michnasayim, what's the first thing that the Koyin should put on every day to do the Avoid? He should put on the Michnasayvad, which were like short pants. Shenamar, Michnasayvad, you Alpsari. So what do you learn from this, that that's the first thing? So Rashi explains, because you absorb means that until that point, there was nothing on the basar, and now you put the mechsevat, now he has some clothing on. Oh, so that's number one. The time of my time, actum eliksoinis. But if you look in the Mishnah that we just quoted, he said, Nan, koin gadol bishmoinikim, hedji barbo, ksoinis mechnasayim. You should say mechnasayim first, because you put the mechnasayim on first. So why did he put the ksoinis? Why does the Mishnah list ksoinis first? Because the pasuk in fact says that ksoinis bad yilbash umichlasevad yu al psoray uvaadli bar yachkor umitznefes bad yitznoit. So the pasuk taka says michlasevad second, and it says ksoinis bad koydish first. So the Mishnah is just parroting or mimicking the pasuk where the pasuk says ksoinis first. So therefore, the Mishnah also says first. So frank yimor krom my time activates. Why does the pasuk taka say ksoinis first? Mishum de mechasya kula gufe. Adifale. Ksoinis has a tremendous chashivus, that the ksoinis goes from the neck all the way down to the ankles. It clothes the whole body. So that's a dover choshim mo'oid. It's a tznius, and also a chashivus for a big baggot. It's not like mechmasayim, which is just like shorts. So therefore, that's why the Torah was machtim. But the point of Rava Omer Rav Schura Omer Rav Huna, when he says komakim shishana chacham derech minyan ein muktim mechubatayra, except for the Shiva Sabamanim, what was he coming to refer to? What was he alluding to? Number one, the Gabe Yavamis, that the Gabe, the Chalitza, you could do Rekekis, and then afterwards, the Chaloit Chaletza, so Chaletza and Rekekis. And number two, that even though the Mishnah says Ksoinis first, he actually put the Mechasayim on before the Ksoinis.
That's Makim. Is that Makim? Take it off then and put it back on?
No.
He says he has.